It's no good, it's disgusting. How did I ever get so trusting?
Alright, everybody, you're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm with my good friend Anna.
Hi.
And Anna has extensive radio history. How long were you on the radio for?
I think it was three times.
Three times on the radio?
It may have only been two.
When was this?
Circa 2001, I guess.
So we're going back about 8 years here?
Yeah, about.
What did you do for
Oh, did you hear? That was a little Canadian. Yeah, about.
That was a little Canadian.
Sorry.
No, that's wonderful. You're not, let's be clear, you're not from Canada.
No.
You are just an amazing linguist.
Yes.
With extensive...
well, yeah.
With extensive dialect from all regions of the country.
Yes.
And other countries, let's be honest.
That
is a complete lie. I have known you for how long now? 2-3 years? Something like that? Now you're like, I'm asking you the hardest question possible. You're fact checking.
No, did you see that I was looking to my left, so I was like, I was trying to pull a piece of information from some portion of my brain on that side.
You've cataloged everything in select regions?
I feel like it's been longer than that. Oh, but is that rude?
It's
felt like a long time.
You won't go away. This is a painful experience.
Well, let's say 4 years.
Really?
I don't know.
No, whatever.
I have no idea.
Three years?
Sure.
And in that time, you have begun a new job, which is a job that you've wanted to have for a very long time, and that's, I guess, a college professor, sort of, somewhat.
True dat. I would not call myself a professor.
Why would you not call yourself a professor?
Because I don't have a PhD, and even though Wikipedia, and we all know Wikipedia
is
correct as can be,
word is bond,
says that I technically can be a professor. I've always thought that if you're not a doctor, you are not a professor.
That just means you're not a doctor.
Yeah, but I just feel like unless I have a PhD, you can't call me professor.
Well, let's start a little bit before. You are a professor in what?
Political science.
See, now you're a professor. You responded to that. You're a professor. You went to school as an undergrad for political science?
Correct.
And then you went to graduate school for
political science.
For the express purpose of teaching in college, correct?
Correct.
Which, therefore, you are a professor.
Incorrect. I don't have a PhD.
No, we've gone over that. Okay, whatever.
I am an adjunct instructor.
Okay, you're an adjunct instructor. So as an adjunct instructor, what do you do?
I teach political science.
You teach it at where? At a community college?
At a community college, I teach American National Politics.
Do you enjoy this?
So it's like a 150 course. It is hard to say at this point. I'm just starting my second semester. So
okay. Well, but you have some experience under your belt.
Yes.
So what did you learn?
I learned that I am a pushover.
Are you really? You do not come off as a pushover.
I'm kind of a pushover.
How so?
I'm a little sympathetic. So I feel like I could believe any story. So when I go in there the first day and we're going over the syllabus and I say, there are no makeup quizzes, there are no makeup exams, I don't think I refused any makeup quiz and or exam the entire semester.
How many quizzes did you give?
Four.
I can't remember a college class where I did quizzes.
Well, you want to make sure people are reading and that they're not shocked by your exam questions.
So is it? It's not like
it's open book.
The quizzes?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you give makeup for that?
Well, if you weren't there that day and you have to turn it in at the end of the day, then all of a sudden you're not there and you are missing 10 points for that day.
Well, let them miss 10 points.
I realize that for
come
this
in and
semester,
be
I've learned my lesson is all I'm saying.
Could I be your enforcer is really what I'm asking.
Yeah, I want you to be a bouncer and stand in my class with your arms crossed.
You want me to use my Hungry Brain experience as a bouncer, which I would never refer to myself as.
If you, what do you call it?
A doorman?
A doorman?
I'm a doorman. I am not a bouncer.
Well,
I've bounced
I thought we
like
were
four
off
people.
Like the man thing. So you're like, it would be like a police officer.
No, I'm a doorman.
Or a postal worker.
Could you name one person that checks IDs at a bar that's not a sexual orientation bar that is a woman?
No.
It's a doorman.
All right.
Anyways, why did you want to be an English professor? Because you are.
I wanted to teach because I don't know why I wanted to teach. I always thought it was particularly when I actually went to the school that I currently teach at.
The community college.
Yes.
Okay.
I a lot of people, because it's a community college, mm-hmm. sort of assume that it's a place that you go when you have no intention of going on to a university. Mm-hmm. And I just had the greatest experience there. I thought that the caliber of teachers was amazing, and I felt like they really fostered my learning experience and wanted me to do something better. And I just thought it was so wonderful, and that more people should get that opportunity. People who maybe don't know what they want to do and go to a place like this to be able to explore it at a much cheaper rate.
Yeah.
And instead of getting lost in it and feeling like, well, you decided to do this, and so forget you. I thought they were awesome. And so I always thought I wanted to be a part of that. And that's when I decided that I wanted to teach. I didn't even know what I wanted to major in until I was there.
How long were you there?
2 years.
Is that the maximum that you could be there?
No, you could be there forever.
Really?
Sure.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Well, you said that the perception is a lot of the people there are just when there's nowhere else to go, kind of.
Yeah.
But, and you are obviously not that case. You could have gone anywhere, and you've now are teaching there. So you've obviously, you're a quote-unquote success story there.
I suppose.
You are. I'm trying to give you credit
here. Thanks.
Do you feel like the majority of the people there were the stereotype, or were they more like you?
It's hard to say from when I was there, because I was in a program where I actually attended the school for free.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was in classes where everyone was going for free, and it was just, I mean, we had to do like community service and all of these things. It was like this whole program where it was an interesting learning experience where it was called the Scholars Program. So you had to be involved. I mean, you did like outside readings. We did
So it's not
tours.
Like the typical, it's not, okay, I should really ask this. The people that are in your class, they are not scholar program people.
No, I did not have the typical experience there. And so I think that's what fueled me. It was like, everyone should have this experience. Mm-hmm. And I know that they don't. And that's not fair. Like, it should be a class where your teachers don't look at you like throwaways.
Do you find that was true in other classes that you had?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What about when you went to grad school? Because you went to a different school for grad school.
Yes.
Can we say the name for that, or should we not?
You can say it.
Okay. You, Loyola, correct?
Yeah, I went to Loyola.
You went to Loyola, which is, most would say, a step up from where you went to undergrad. For 2 years.
Yeah.
Did you find that there the people cared as much?
No.
Why is that, do you think?
I think a lot of it, especially with, and I mean, this might be true of many disciplines, but political science especially attracts people who want to do research and write. And I will be honest, I don't. I like teaching it. I like the basics of it. I like the foundation. And I think it can be taught so easily, but there's a point where you, as a political scientist, get so involved and move so far beyond that, that the basic just seems so obvious to you. And I don't think there's enough people who teach who haven't gone so far into it that they still understand how to teach the things that are so basic that seem so obvious but aren't.
Okay, do you think you're going to be able to teach what you're teaching now? Because you're teaching a 150 level class, so it's pretty much entry level, correct?
Yes.
Do you think you'll be able to teach that, say, in 5 years, once you've had the experience?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm not doing any research. I'm not writing. I'm not published.
You've shut the door for future
learning. I'm not
learning.
No, I mean, research in that, I mean, I still read. I still want to stay current with current events, absolutely. But I will continue to reread the same text that I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. Every week I will read the chapter that I'm teaching, even though I clearly already know it, but it's just a good reminder of this is how basic we're going. And I'm not writing any sort of papers, and my focus isn't on, you know, using some software in order to, like, SPSS and writing some sort of a paper, mm-hmm. and publishing that. I'm not distracted by something like that.
Why is that? Why do you not want to publish? Why do you not want to teach a higher level?
My interest always was in the way that it worked.
Okay.
And not, like, I mean, to be honest, current events don't even necessarily, I mean, I'm interested. It's not that mm-hmm. I want to be uninformed, but it isn't like, this is the greatest. I want to know everything. I want to get up early on Sunday and watch every possible political talk show
there is. So you're not watching Meet the Press every week and reading the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times on a daily basis.
That's correct.
That's okay.
That's embarrassing.
No, that's not. Why is that embarrassing?
Well, because I feel like that's probably what most people who are interested in political science do, or in politics in general, and I don't.
Did you have an interest in political science after you took those first few classes at the community college?
No, I had an interest first in high school, and I quickly realized in college that what I thought political science was really more like criminal justice.
Expound, please.
So the class I took in high school, it was... it really was all, it was all about criminal justice. It was like things about, this is how the law works here, and that's what I was really interested in. And I was like, political science, well, that's just stellar. I'm going to take those classes. And I took some, and I was like, that is not what I took in high school.
Okay.
And I had a couple of friends who were taking political science courses, and very close friends, and I was like, all right, we're all going to be political scientists. Let's rock and roll.
So it's like you kind of were all like the gang from 90210 with the peach pit in mm-hmm. the poli sci class.
Yeah.
And that gave you the pie, which you ate, and now you're a professor.
Yes.
Okay, so it was kind of an accident that you got into political science?
Yes.
But you were more interested in criminal justice.
Yes.
Which is
then I discovered constitutional law, which okay. You couldn't have really gotten to in criminal justice. It didn't get to that level. It was on the political science track that I realized, like, I could really focus, and especially if I get further in, which is why I wanted to go for a master's, because in undergraduate, you just have to take, you know, political theory, you know, American politics, you know, global politics, you have to take it all, and, mm-hmm. you know, you just sort of like some of them and dislike others. And then I realized if I go for a master's, I could focus on constitutional law, which is what I really wanted to do.
Is that what you're teaching? You said that's not what you're teaching now?
I'm teaching American national politics, so three chapters of my book are civil liberties, civil rights, like where we really
how many
get
chapters
into
is the con
book? Law. 18.
So a sixth of your lessons are about what you kind of want to do.
Yeah.
That's pretty good on average, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I assume that in order to teach constitutional law, which you wouldn't probably find at a community college, I would have to go to law school.
Do you want to go to law school?
I decided I don't.
When did you decide this?
A year ago.
Why is that? What brought you to this conclusion?
I realized that I don't want to continue to... I guess I decided that right now that I don't, because I'm not going to continue to go to school for things that I don't yet understand and then be done with it and realize that's not exactly what I thought
but
it
was. But isn't the point of going to understand it?
I'm not going to spend $150,000 to try and understand if I like law. I think I like law, but I am almost positive that I would never want to practice law. And so I would be going just because I want to learn about it, and I don't want to spend $150,000 to learn about it.
There's no other program that you can take to just learn about it?
I mean, you could take con law classes in a political science program, which I feel like
that's
I've
true.
Done, so.
Do you get free classes, by the way?
I do.
Have you pursued that yet?
I get one per semester, uh-huh. So I am going to take this semester a sign language class.
Really?
Yes.
What makes you want to learn sign language?
I wanted to take it when I was a student there.
Yeah.
And it was a 5-hour course, and I just never fit
5 hours once a week?
5 hours once a week, yeah.
I'm guessing it's a weekend class?
It is a weekend class, yes. And so it just never fit in with my schedule well. And then last semester I was teaching on the weekends as well. So
you're not teaching on the weekends anymore?
I am not.
That's wonderful.
That is wonderful.
You'll have a day off. I used to see you quite a bit more. I enjoy your presence quite a bit.
Aw, thanks.
I know. It's a very nice thing to say for me. I know. I'm a very nice guy.
I'll be around a lot more this semester.
I really hope so. One of the things that I noticed the few times I was around you in the last 6 months is you can't eat or drink what you used to eat or drink. And you're not dying. Let's make that clear. It's not like you have cancer, hopefully. This is going in a really odd direction. I was getting it. You have these weird... To me, it's weird. I'm not trying to make you feel weird, but I know I am. These, like, dietary restrictions?
I do have dietary restrictions.
And they're very odd to me, because it's not diabetes, and
it's not.
What is it?
Well, it potentially is. We're exploring a gluten allergy. So I'm not consuming any gluten.
Which means you're not consuming, for those gluten idiots out there,
wheat, rye, barley.
So
which doesn't sound so bad, right? Because you're like, I'm not consuming a lot of wheat, rye, barley.
I am. So
but
you can't
have to think about how much you really are. It's in everything.
So like no bread?
No bread.
No pasta, obviously.
No pasta.
Every meat, it's fine unless... What if it's like fed a lot of wheat?
Meat is fine.
All meats are fine?
Some deli meats are not, due to the way that they're processed in order to be deli meats.
What about cheese?
I suppose cheese is fine.
So what is your diet?
A lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese?
Well, I thought...
You're a Midwestern gal.
It's actually quite similar, so I've heard. I've never done this, but I guess to the Atkins diet.
All right.
So people initially were like, what are you on the Atkins diet? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Why do you keep asking me this? So it's a lot of... Well, I mean, I eat burgers, no bun, kind of a thing.
That's not a burger, then. That's just a patty. You're eating a meat patty.
A meat patty.
That sounds appetizing.
Salad, though. There's some dry... I mean, you'd be surprised. There's, like, a lot of things use thickeners, which contain gluten, and so there's salad dressings and barbecue sauces and weird things. I can't have soy sauce.
Really?
You would be surprised as to how far this extends. It's obnoxious. So the option to eat out is pretty much gone.
So I guess you're eating at home a lot more.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It sucks.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't like to cook.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't want to bring that up because I don't know if that was
It's nice to be at home and save money, but I don't...
Are you saving money, though? Because you can't buy, like, most of the, like, cheap food staples.
Yeah, I guess that's also...
I'm true. Asking. I don't know. It seems like...
It's got to be cheaper than, you know, ordering Thai food or something all the
time. Could you eat Thai food?
I mean, it really depends, and it's difficult when you call a Thai restaurant to say, like, can you tell me if this particular item contains gluten? It's just not, you know...
Yeah, I would just lie.
It's hard to find out, right? And you're trusting a restaurant. They're like, oh, no, absolutely not. And, I mean, you'd be surprised.
Do you feel better?
I do.
Really?
It's ups and downs.
Okay, so are you sure that it's working? Are you kind of on the fence that it's working?
I am sure that I am... considerably better than I was 4 months ago, and I've been doing this for 6 months.
Do you think it's psychosomatic?
I think it may be.
There you go.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you.
Don't.
I think I will go eat a giant loaf of bread.
Thanks.
And consume a pint of ale.
Yes.
That sounded like Beowulf, by the way.
It gets really hard to see, or like just if I pass a Quiznos.
Oh, yeah?
I really want a sandwich. That would be if I could eat gluten again, I would have a White Hen sandwich first.
That's
then
good.
Quiznos would be my second.
Actually, you cannot have a White Hen sandwich anymore.
Mm-mm.
Well, they got bought out.
Oh, but there's still a White Hen by me.
But it's owned by 7-Eleven.
They're not changing the names anymore? I thought they were previously changing all the
names. They were changing all the names, but a bunch of them just kept it. But like, if you'll notice, they have like Taquitos, which is a 7-Eleven thing. So you're learning.
I am learning because I passed a 7-Eleven and I thought that sandwich looks suspiciously like.
Yeah, they're all the White Hen. If there is a deli in it, it used to be a White Hen usually.
Okay, I'm with you. So are they not going to change the White Hen? That's Kitty Corner, or for those of you who are Southern, Catty Corner to my work.
No, they're probably going to just keep the name, but all the money goes to the same people.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Well, good. I'm sure no longer eating sandwiches.
Yeah, if you notice, check out the coffee the next time you're there and tell me the name of the cup.
Okay.
That's on it, and I'm going to bet it's 7-Eleven.
It's not.
So now that we're talking about the important issues, before we started recording, you were talking to me about what you wanted to do next, and you didn't know.
I don't know.
Okay. You don't have to say your age, but you're a college graduate. You have a master's degree. You're teaching college classes. You have a full-time job besides that.
Yeah.
I know this is a broad question, but are you happy with your work?
No.
Why is that?
Probably because my husband recently got a job, and I see the way that it has changed him.
Well, let's be fair to... It's not... When most people say he got a job and it's changed him, it's usually for more money.
Less money.
Exactly.
Significantly less.
He quit his job to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he's, to me, I don't know the day-to-day, but like the few times I see him every month, he seems a lot happier.
I feel completely inspired.
Is that good or bad?
It's awesome.
Do you find yourself holding back because you're worried about money?
Yes.
Do you feel like if you weren't married, if you had no debt, I'm assuming you have college debt because you went to college.
I don't
know if you don't. Good for you. Yay. You don't have a kid.
No.
You don't have debt.
Well, I don't have debt.
Well, whatever.
I guess now I do.
Well, the point
through
being
marriage,
is,
I have some, but.
Why not just go ahead and do what you'd feel happier doing?
I really want to. I think it's hard to know that. I suddenly feel more responsible for our finances because he has taken a job that pays significantly less. And I realize that I could be making less money and we would still happily survive.
Yeah.
But that's a scary thought. I guess I want to pay off debts. I want to have a cushion, and then I'll feel like I have the opportunity to explore more than I do now.
What do you want to explore?
I guess I enjoy things like sewing. I like fashion.
Well, I know that for Christmas you got a new sewing machine.
I did get a new
sewing machine. Have you used it yet?
No.
Okay. It's been like, I think it's been literally exactly a month
it's
to
been
the
a
day.
Month. Yeah,
I'm looking at the counter. It's been a month to the day. Why haven't you tried it out
I yet? Don't have a table to use it on.
Do you have a kitchen table?
I do, but then that gets messing in. I'm just anti-mess.
But that's an excuse.
It is an excuse.
Okay, so besides this,
yeah.
When you say sewing, what do you want to do?
Well, I previously liked making clothes. I haven't done it in so long that I don't even know.
Start to finish or altering?
No, start to finish.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what?
I made my senior year prom dress.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Do you still have it?
I do.
Good for you.
It was awesome.
You also have the model thing. What is it?
Yes,
called?
I have a form. So
a
I can,
form.
I can sort of adjust it to be my measurements.
There
and
you go.
Make things, and I absolutely intend to do that. There are some household projects that I'm going to do first,
like
an ottoman cover.
Ooh, very domestic of you.
And maybe some drapes. Who knows? But I like that. I think I like clothing. Even if I'm not making, I just enjoy clothing. I like shopping. I like shopping for other people. I like seeing what would look good on people.
Would you want to be a personal shopper?
Potentially. Part of me wonders if because I don't know. This is going to sound weird or jerky or
don't.
Something. But having a master's, I think, makes me sort of look at jobs and say, well, I can't do that because either I'm going to get ticked off while I have that job and be like, you don't know, I have a master's, forget you, because people are going to underappreciate me.
Mm-hmm.
Or that when people find out, they'd be like, why are you wasting it?
Why are you wasting your master's?
Yeah.
But let's be clear, you have a master's in political science.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you're doing something in the world of fashion...
be like, because it's totally unrelated.
Yeah, I mean, so what? So are you just afraid you're going to snap or something? And that's why you're not pursuing this?
No, I don't even know that that's what I would want to pursue either.
That's
I'm just
okay.
thinking of things that I'm interested
well,
in.
Well, what else are you interested in?
I really like writing. I think I'm a fairly decent writer.
Do you want to talk about your website or no?
Well, we can't. I mean, it's not done.
Well, I don't care if it's done or not. It's up to you if you want to talk about it. Because I think it's a great idea. Do you want to or no?
This is my L website we're talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have another one?
Well, I've got a lot of projects going on.
Well, let's
on
go.
Right now.
Let's talk about these.
A coworker and I mm-hmm. started a website that has been under construction probably since September of last year.
So, 07.
08. We're in 09 now.
Yeah, I know, but isn't last year's in 07 or 08?
No, 08.
So,
September
5 months.
September of 08, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe slightly longer than that. It's called OL No,
mm-hmm.
And what it is a place for people to go out and tell us their hilarious L riding experiences, crazy stories, funny pictures, what you hate, what you love about the Chicago L, because we, having taken the L home together, my coworker and I found that there were endlessly interesting conversations and hilarious things going on.
Okay, well, what are the other websites?
Well, we don't have any other websites yet.
Okay, sorry. You said projects.
Well, I've had other ideas.
Well, come on.
Oh, I can't discuss those.
Why
those
is that?
They're still in the works, and they're totally unformed.
That's why you want to discuss them?
Well, here's a really embarrassing one. We had an idea.
I like the preface. You can sip on your water. Don't worry. I'll keep talking in the mic so it's not as awkward.
Sorry. We had an idea for, can I say the word nipple? Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Of course. You could say anything. You could swear. It doesn't matter.
Okay, this is going to get awkward. You know how people, like porn stars,
uh-huh.
bleach a certain part of
yeah.
their body?
They bleach their asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
We thought that it may be interesting, instead of like, well, we were wondering how we could tie the nipples into that as well. And we thought it would be fun if we had some sort of a product that, much like dyeing an egg, would dye your nipples fun colors.
So you want to make this, or...
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to be an entrepreneur.
Oh,
is
sure.
Is the classy way to say it. Well, I'm serious. Why not pursue these?
We just thought it would be hilarious.
I'm sure
to
there's
have
a niche
website for nipple coloring.
I'm sure that would sell.
Really?
I know that would sell. I know it's absurd, but anything will sell.
All right, so maybe I'll get this up and running in the next couple weeks.
Obviously, you...
Nippledunk.com.
Is that what you wanted to name it?
No, I have no idea, but I'm like, that's just...
I wouldn't call it Nippledunk.
Well,
it sounds
well,
like piranhas are going to grab on to your chest.
But how... I mean, that's how you're going to color them, sort of. I don't know.
I guess why would you... You need to work on the product research, because you wouldn't just dump your nipples It would be more of like a cream, wouldn't it? Like a smear on you?
A smear, okay.
Or, and if anything, essentially like the pasty and then peel it off in like an hour later or something.
Wow.
Jesus, I even know more about nipple cream, and you have just pitched this to me.
Maybe I need you involved in this.
I don't think I have the startup capital to participate in this amazing business venture.
No, you just don't think it's a good idea.
I think it's No. I think it's a great idea. I just don't have any scientific research. I can't really market it for you. There's nothing I could contribute to it.
Okay, so I guess OL now is probably the number one.
Okay, so if you want to be a writer, how often do you write?
Emails? Do those count?
No, they don't. Well, yeah. Are they emails that you intend to get published?
No.
Then no.
All right, never.
Why not?
I don't know.
Does writing cost no money?
That's correct.
You can write on the way home from work.
I drive, so that would probably be really dangerous.
You can talk into a tape recorder and then transcribe it.
Yes, I could.
Okay. Why not?
I don't know.
I don't either. That's the question. that's your question. I'm serious.
No, because I always feel overwhelmed. Like, there's always too much to do. There's always something that comes before it.
Like what?
Even if it's just, I need 20 minutes to not be doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I get up at...
Yeah, you get a very... You are a hard worker.
6 in the morning, I get home from work at 6 at night. I study, in prep for class. For the past 3 weeks, I've been lucky enough to not have class, so I've had I've had nights. And I could very well be doing stuff with those nights, but it felt so great to not have to do anything.
It's funny because before we started this, I asked, could I mention that you're a hard worker? And you go, I don't work hard.
I don't feel like... I'm not overworked.
You work 12 hours. You're at work or trying to get to work or thinking about work 12 hours a day.
Yes.
And then the rest of the time you get home, you're working on your other job.
Yes.
And then you sleep.
Yes.
And don't eat gluten.
That's correct.
That's not.
So I'm not even getting any fuel.
Yeah, you need the wheat in you, man.
I need the fuel, but I have weekends now. I have weekends.
Okay, but like, why not just go ahead and do what you want to do? Or are you doing what you want to do?
For now, I am.
Okay.
But I know that this isn't what I want to do forever.
How often do you... What do you think you're going to do, like, in, like, a year, figure out what you want to do at your 60 and then just do that? Or do you see yourself consistently pursuing other projects?
I think the goal at this point is... This is my year of the budget.
This is your year of the budget?
Yes. So
That sounds like a not fun year.
Well... I have started budgeting, which I've never done before. It is frustrating and obnoxious, but I'm doing it 2009.
Wait, budgeting is obnoxious?
Yes.
I think the opposite is obnoxious. Wait, no offense.
But you've got to write things down and figure out how much you spent on something, which I'm not used to doing, and cut back. And I'm doing that because I want to get a nice cushion this year, and then by the end of the year, I want to have... Can I say left the job that I'm at right now?
Yeah, completely.
Not my teaching job.
No, let's be clear. You don't hate the job you're in. You don't hate the people you're in. I'm just going to keep saying this. And even if I'm lying, don't correct me because in case anybody hears
No, it's absolutely true.
Okay, good.
Absolutely true.
You don't want to be, like you said before, you don't want a consistent cycle of entry-level positions.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no shame in that.
That's what I feel that I have done is just... jumped from entry-level job to entry-level job, so I want to look at the things about the job that I have now that I enjoy most, because it's a job that sort of encompasses many jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look for something that would give me more time doing what about this job that I like.
And what is that?
I really like finance.
Okay, that's completely different than writing nipple cream or...
Well, those would be side projects.
I think I'm putting the money in the nipple cream, seriously. Just go for it.
I thought you don't have any money to be put in.
Well, if I had money. I have hypothetical money.
Then you think that would be the best.
I think that would be the quickest return, actually.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Because
it's like a novel. Like, it's novelty a novelty item. And people novelty, think it's so funny.
Bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, definitely. I'm serious.
That was like my last on the list.
No, maybe that's number one.
Maybe
I think
should tell
easiest.
You the first invention I ever came up with. It was... Oh, maybe I've told you this before.
I don't know.
Shoes with spoilers.
No, you haven't told me this.
I thought it would be really awesome if gym shoes... I thought people would go for this because spoilers were cool for a time. This was years ago that I came up with this one. And I thought gym shoes with spoilers. And then like when it's raining, you would put your pants, you rest them on your spoiler.
That's a... You know what? That might work with like the 60 and older crowd. But then again, their pants are higher usually.
I'm thinking like cool inner city.
I don't think so, but good luck. Not every, you just gotta throw spaghetti at the wall and some sticks.
So that's not the one I should pursue.
I don't think so. If, I mean, it's your life. Pursue your spoiler shoes all you want. Actually, reminds me, when I was teaching those kids the fashion class, one of the kids had an idea for shoes that would light on fire. Because he didn't like going to, he was at like a rock and roll show, for his like first rock and roll show. He's like, everyone was pushing, I just wanted to light my shoes on fire and start flame throwing, kicking around.
And that wouldn't be dangerous?
For the next hour, we discussed the physics of how that is A, impossible to put them out if you just light them, and B, how it's the dumbest idea possibly ever.
How would the person who owned said shoes not get injured in the process?
It was be an Iron Man type of deal. Where it'd be gym shoes, but they'd be boot-like. So you can know how Iron Man shoots. That's how he flies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because this is all science here, obviously. And he would just literally, essentially, like air kick, and then it'd be flames that shoot out. Exactly. You have been silenced by that.
And at the end of this, did your student believe that it was indeed a bad
idea? This was a few years. I taught him another year, and then the next year they still would bring it up and about how this kid still wanted to do it. So you know what? He's got resolve, and God bless him.
Why are you stifling dreams?
I'm a dream. If that's the one thing I am, it's a dream stifler.
Well, that ain't even right.
I know.
You should be encouraging.
He wanted to do it to hurt a mass of people. So,
you know,
sorry.
But you have been to a concert.
I have been
and
to a
wanted
concert.
People to get away from you.
But
so
my idea.
You would have appreciated these flamethrowing
and
shoes.
And all I have to say is Great White. And that's why we don't need flamethrower shoes at all concerts.
All right.
You don't know what to say, do you?
No.
Anna, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Do you want to plug anything? Do you have anything to plug?
Oh, I don't think so. All these projects that I have?
Is the website up yet or no? You said it's under construction.
Technically, the website is up.
Could people visit it?
They
or
should,
is it pointless?
And absolutely could. No, they can go there. We're taking submissions right now.
There you go.
To get it up and running.
What's
so
the URL? Who says URL? I'm sorry.
What? Isn't that what it is?
It's I know
a
it's
URL.
What it, yeah, but it sounds weird.
What else would you call it?
What's the site?
The web
or
address?
What's the name or what's the address? Yeah.
What's your web address?
Why? No, not web address, but just what's the address or what's the name?
It is OL no. www.ohl.
You said OOH.
www.ohl.
O-H-E-L-N.
Oh, I was saying like O-L, like O-H. Okay. O-L-N-O, O-H-L-N-O.com.
So no E-L, just L.
Well, at this point, I think we've purchased both.
What should they go
both
to?
Both web addresses, but only O-H-L, the letter L-N-O, is up and running.
.com?
I believe. Yes, .com.
Good luck.
Thank you
Let me know
much.
If I can help.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to close it out with Daniel Knox. Daniel Knox is playing February 4th somewhere in New York City. So if you're interested in checking him out, just go to danielknox.com or myspace.com/Daniel Knox or the Facebook or any of that wonderful stuff, or go to youmethemeverybody.com and his name is there, and just do a Google search and you will find the wonderful man. Thanks a lot for listening.
I go deaf when I hit the floor. Can't hear the poetry.
Recently, I've been forgetting. I was just told the best part of the podcast, which is a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So, Anna, I have made you come back into the room, which sounds creepy as hell. Pick a number between 1 and 260.
8.
8. Good one. No one's picked that yet. Okay, if you could have a round-trip ride in a time machine and travel any distance into the past or future, where would you want to go?
I hate that question.
Give me another number.
No, that's fine. I'm stuck with it.
No, you're not.
I picked my lot in life. It's number 8.
I think it's a wonderful question.
I would go... Oh, this is going to be so lame. I would go to the 50s.
What?
1950s.
Why? What year 1950s?
I don't care, anytime.
50 is a lot different than 59.
1953.
1953?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I thought the outfits were adorable.
I just thought because you were a giant racist.
Well, that is the second portion of my answer,
go.
Of course.
I'm gonna answer this question.
Yeah, can you... that?
I don't usually answer. I would go to 2010.
That's
and,
next year.
Yeah, that's next year. And find out the World Series champion... a la Back to the Future and just bet everything I have on it. That's it.
That's really what you would do?
Yeah, because then I'm not altering the past at all, which would alter my present. I'm altering my future. Therefore, I'll be rich as shit.
So I guess I was thinking of it more as like...
Or you know what? Fuck it. I'll go like 2013 and then the next five. And then after that, if I bet everything I have on like the World Series, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, and the Stanley Cup, and it just put it all on, like just like let it ride, that'll be at least a few million dollars. So
yeah, I'll now you're thinking.
Fine. Yeah, that's it. Screw it. Done.
So you wouldn't go to like some year and do a lot of drugs and then
No, I could do that now. You could do anything now. Why would you?
But it was cooler then.
You could do that. That's why I don't understand when people want to go to the past unless they're going to do something badass like kill Hitler. Because like, of course you'd kill Hitler. But why would you want to go to the past to like see the dresses? Because you can just get those dresses now.
But you can't.
You like, can.
Who wears those adorable hats
you could.
Anymore?
You could.
I could be that jerk.
You know what? No, no, no. Here's the thing. If you went into the future, figured out some ways to bet money, and then put money on that and be like the richest person in the state or whatever, you could have the money and organize balls every night of the week, and everyone would have to dress like that.
But you realize what the problem with that logic is. They did this study where they said that there's like a certain amount of money that a person can have before they start to become miserable. Like there's like the certain amount that makes you the happiest you can be, and it's something obnoxious, like $60,000, not like $60 million or even $600,000, but $60,000 a year makes people like optimum happy. So why would you want a whole flood of money?
Those are people that have never heard the saying "money isn't a problem unless you don't have it." To me. Because here's my thing. I have $60 million. Here's $1 million. I'm happier now, right? And you're happier now. Spread it around. There's so many problems out. It's like, just nail them out, you know?
I think the happiest people are people who make just enough to live and have some fun.
And I think the happiest people are meth heads when they have meth.
I don't know any meth heads or how happy they are.
I was on the train coming home from work last night at 5 a.m. and I was informed. I got off the train and the guy in front of me was harassing me. And here's my problem with the guys harassing me. Harass me all you want. But don't assume I'm racist or sexist like you are.
Are you yelling at me personally?
No, absolutely not.
See, train people. Meth train people.
Anybody. It's not about train people. It's just it's people that assume that you understand their racism or sexism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I actually went to the grocery store after work at like 4 in the morning, and I had groceries with me, and like, you're with a train car full of homeless people. You feel kind of awkward. But then as soon as the guy's like, don't hate the game, hate the player, bullshit like that, and then he was talking about how he loves pussy, and I was like, you know what? You were going to get food. I can't do this like now. And then I'm walking off the train like looking around my back, because he's like, where are you getting off? And I had to tell him, because I'm like, the next stop. And the next car up is a guy dancing the length of the train, back and forth, back and forth. So that guy, I think, was happier than anyone in the world in that moment when he was still high on meth.
Probably true.
So I don't think money's an issue if you have meth. Thank you, Anna.
I got biff when I hit the floor. Can't hear the poetry anymore. Serenity prayer. Life's unfair. Knock on wood. It's no good, it's disgusting. How did I ever get so trusting? I tried to reach for you, but always I honk the corners and always I'm always late for my thank you.